T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Good afternoon, St. Louis, 97.1 FM Talk, DGS. Kind of digging the weather. I'm okay with it.
I like it too.
Thank you, Rach.
I also enjoy the weather. What about you, Sue?
I love it. I've got everything open, the windows, the doors. It's awesome.
She loves it.
Especially since it's going to be hot as balls this weekend.
Is it?
Yeah, it's going to be really hot and really humid and sticky. And I mean, it's July 4th, great, but I'm kind of digging this today.
Me too.
And tonight and tomorrow, I'm on a run where I am watching all of the one-word title horror movies from the same company, like Sinister and Malicious. And I guess every time they think of a new word like that, they just make a new movie. But it's sort of like eating Pop-Tarts. They're really formulaic. And they're not exorcist scary, but they're also not real stupid. And that's what I do at night.
Nice.
It's my new life. It's what I do.
Like what? What's the last one you watched?
I'm watching Malicious right now. What got me going on them was I rented for $20 the Kevin Bacon, the new one.
Oh, that's
right. They're by BH Productions. And I think the B in it is Kevin Bacon. I guess he just really loves those kind of movies. But Sinister is my favorite. It's got Ethan Hawke, and it was really, really good. Sinister 2, I mean, like all sequels. But for anyone who is just looking for something new to watch on Netflix or Amazon, and they like horror movies, they like sort of like easy to digest, those are pretty good. I'm digging them.
Okay.
I just did a staff pick. Anyone else got any staff picks?
Just like that.
Anyone got anything? Like Famous Amos Cookies, just had one. Might want to check those out. I don't know if anyone likes cookies or candy, but it's pretty good. I like both those things.
I'll tell you what I like.
Oh, boy.
I bought at Schnucks these Voortman wafer cookies, right? Like the old vanilla wafer ones that you used to get.
They are
slamming. But here's the best thing. They now have a key lime version, which you kind of say to yourself,
no sale.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that. But then when it's the only one left because they're all bought out, you purchase one. Holy cow, they are so great.
Those things, a little bit stale, are fantastic. Mm. Keebler fudge sticks in the fridge, just heaven. What else? Things that are flavored like other things. I would like them if you didn't tell me what the flavor was. Like, Sue, at your house, what do we have?
Baconator Pringles.
Baconator Pringles.
Yes, they were terrible.
Well, here's the thing, though. If you just said, here's some different flavored Pringles, I would have said, oh, it's good. But when you have in your mind what the flavor is going to be, there's this cognitive dissonance.
Oh, I know what you're saying.
Here's the way to start the show. Talking about cognitive dissonance with potato chips and how Dave likes his cookie stale.
Well, they were plain old bad. We got the Baconator, I did, so that Rachel could have, you know, a little version of the sun on a lunch date. But it was terrible.
Rach, as I understand it, because you told Tony and I about an hour ago,
Yes. The
planets aligned, and last night you received the perfect son of Baconator.
Yeah, I wasn't even going to go to Wendy's, but then I thought...
Why wouldn't I?
I'm alive.
You only live once. Exactly. Exactly. Who knows what's going to happen tomorrow? Let me hit up the Wendy's drive-thru. Let me get a medium Son of Baconator combo with an all-natural lemonade. And I got home, and I unwrapped that bad boy. And it looked like a drawing of a burger. It looked like a Krabby Patty. It was flawless. There was a sheen on the bun. The patties and the cheese and the bacon lay perfectly. The sauce was not dripping out. And, you know, it tasted just like it looked.
Did you hesitate at all?
Oh, yeah. Mm. I took it in. Yeah, I took it in for a good long while.
Good girl.
It was pretty great.
That's what you got to do. Mm. Isn't it nice when those things happen? Because most of the time, it's not that. Most of the time, you get something out and you're like, this doesn't even look like a hamburger.
Mm-hmm. Most of the time, you're just lucky to get something that resembles what you ordered.
I did that the other night. I have taken to eating ice cream in a coffee mug, in a glass coffee mug, because I get to see the ice cream and I don't eat as much, although I tend to fill it up more than once. But I found a new love for chocolate and strawberry ice cream together with chocolate sauce on it. And I just threw it together. It was late. I was mad. I shouldn't be eating this. That kind of thing.
I'm so mad at me, myself, for eating this ice cream.
Absolutely. Just like you're just
angrily shoveling it in your face.
Disgusting loser. But when I made it, it was just perfect. Mm. Like, wow.
Sometimes it's like that.
I got Nick up out of bed. Look at this.
So it looked perfect or it tasted perfect?
Both.
Yeah, which one?
Okay. Both. It looked perfect. It ate perfect. It was just really, really nice. Let's start with controversy, but not Trump. Not white power, not Russia, but Rachel. What did you do?
Well, I saw a video on Twitter that I thought was funny, and I put it up on the DGS blog, 971talk.com/Glover. The title is, Watch, Confused Driver Cannot Find Gas Tank at Pump. And it's this young woman who keeps, her gas tank is on her driver's side, and she keeps pulling her passenger side up to the pump.
Yes.
Over and over again. And she keeps like backing out, pulling around to another one, but still pulling up on the same side. And it's being filmed by this couple who are like laughing. And they're not being mean-spirited. They're not like, look at this idiot. It's more of a play-by-play, like, no, she's not going to do it again. So it's a 2-minute long video. Then there's a follow-up where they actually get out and say, back up this way and help her out. And it's very cute. It's very funny. Put it up on Facebook. And a couple people, I mean, you know, it's just a few people. We only have a few comments are like, wow, yeah, you're just going to point and laugh rather than help.
Oh, come on.
To which I say, she has a mask on her face. It's not like we're like, look at this idiot. She works at the McDonald's on blah, blah, blah. Like, it's a faceless person doing something silly. I have done many things much stupider than this in my life, so I don't feel guilty laughing at it. And isn't that the whole point of, like, fail compilation videos?
Yes.
America's Funniest Home Videos and anything like that. It's, look at this. This is hilarious. Harmless
of
fun.
All the things for people to get mad at.
I really think it is. People just want to be mad. I think they want to find, and, you know, the fine people that commented on our Facebook post, maybe they had a gas tank experience in this. No, I'm serious. Maybe this, like, stirred up something within them. You're allowed to feel the way you feel. It's just crazy that every internet comment section, even something as benign as this silly video, is stirring up arguments.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm going to watch it.
It's pretty funny.
I've been fished in.
You got to listen to the sound, though.
I'll wait.
I mean, it's funny without it, but it's funnier to hear them talking.
Can I bring up something real now? Real and big. I'd love to get phone calls or tweets on this.
Sure.
I grew up not quite boomers. I'm not a boomer. I think boomers are the absolute quintessential USA. Woohoo, we're America. We can kick everyone's ass. Everyone wants to be us. John Wayne, the whole bit. I was the next generation after that. And we still try to do that. We still try, you know, Super Bowl, you know, Mark Close, like, it's the greatest thing in the world. I'm not sure that I know we still say it, that we're America. What made me think of this is I was listening to Joe Biden this morning, and he was saying, like, we can do this, and we're going to come out stronger, and we're America, and we're doing it together. I would love that to be true, because I grew up that way. I'm not sure that's true anymore. I'm not sure that we really do have America. And I know America's always been a melting pot. And you've always had every race, creed, color, religion, the whole thing. And that's what makes us stronger is our diversity. I'm not sure that I believe that anymore. It seems as if this family has broken up. And we still all live in the same house, but we're doing our own things, and we kind of don't like each other, and I really would rather not go to the store with Dad. I would love people's thoughts on that. Is America Yay really become just sort of an empty campaign? Or are we just going through a hard time and we are America Yay and we are going to get through this and we're going to figure out this whole race thing and we're going to figure out the pandemic and we're going to, you know, be the, I don't know. And if not, why not? And when did it change? I think a lot of it, I don't know if it's a lot of it. I remember when Barack Obama was running. I didn't know what a community organizer was. I'd never heard that term. I had no idea who this person was. And when he did the whole, you know, sure, America's great, but everyone thinks they're great. Everyone thinks they're exceptional. And I don't think America's any more exceptional than anyone else. And I was so offended by that. And when he went on his quote unquote apology tour and, you know, we're a global citizen. And I really hated all of that because of my childhood and my upbringing and John Wayne and we're America and we'll kick your ass if you look cross-eyed at us. And now you have the opposite with President Trump and you have all the stuff going on in the world with that. What do you guys think?
I think we are not America Yay anymore, but that doesn't mean that we can't get back to it. But I think that that is the current this current state that we live in. There was a story that was in the news yesterday. You may have heard of this guy. He's kind of been in the news for off and on for a couple of years. I got to look up his name. He was an Afghan interpreter.
Yeah, yeah.
That his name is Janis Shinwari. He was an Afghan interpreter that's been trying to become an American citizen for a long time because he's, if he goes back home,
he's
his
in trouble.
Life is in, yeah. Yeah, because, you know, he was a tattletale essentially mm-hmm. against his government and he helped the United States military. And there's been a lot of people that have been, you know, really fighting for his, for him to become a citizen so he can safely be here and not have to, you know, face being sent back. And he was finally yesterday made an American citizen. And he was talking about America and why he wanted to help the American military and work with America. And he was talking about the way he was painting the picture of America is the way that you just described. It was all painted to us as we were growing up. And it made me really sad because I don't feel like we're that place anymore. And he was talking about how his young son had made the point to him that at home he was, you know, afraid to go to school because he didn't know if there would be bad people, you know, at the school or if there would be people causing trouble just, you know, as he walked down the street. And how in at home they solve problems with guns and bombs, and in America they solve their problems with a pen and paper. And I think that we are getting further and further away from being the country that solves its problems with pen and paper. I mean, just turn on the news every single mm-hmm. night and you see. So it made me really sad. And I think it is exactly along the lines of the thing that you're talking about, that we are not that country right now. That doesn't mean we can't get back to it and be it again. Maybe we shouldn't go back to it and be it again. Maybe that place is a bad place to be. I don't think so, but maybe some people do.
Rach, what do you think? You're shaking your head.
No, I just agree with Tony. I don't think it's a bad place to be. I think if it's coming from a false sense of security, like, we never do anything wrong. I'm against that. Of course we've done things wrong. This isn't a perfect country. But I think what it was founded on, the principles it was founded on, the idea of America is about as perfect as a place can get. And I'm proud to be an American. I think a lot of people in my generation have taken up this mantle of, like, it's always sucked. The founding fathers were horrible people and this place, blah, blah, blah. They gave you the opportunity to feel the way you do now. You don't have to be a patriot. You don't have to love this country. But if you know what's good for you, I think you should. And I don't mean that as a threat. I just mean you can make something of yourself in the United States. Some people would argue, you know, it's not that way for everyone, but I think there is a path. There is a path. So I think we've gotten off course. I think we need to go back to using the pen and paper, like Tony said, and do things the right way. If you want to affect change, there are channels to affect change. Stuff like burning things and toppling statues and demanding resignations over nothing. It's not really the way we do things. It's the way some other worse countries do things. And hopefully once that dies down, a lot of the people who feel so galvanized to go out and act this way will turn that energy into something more productive and something that works with our current system, which isn't as bad as people like to believe it is.
I totally agree. I think those are great thoughts. And one period I'd like to put at the end of your sentence, Rach, is with we talked about it yesterday, that what's going on now feels to me like when you let spoiled kids have their way too much. There's nothing un-American and there's nothing unfair about a country of people saying no to another group of people. That's not un-American. And that's not, like we always talk about playground rules, unfair. You don't always get your way and you're not always right, even if there's a bunch of you. So I think that this is sort of like a family. Like Nick said to me the other day, my family goes through changes like every other family. But Nick said to me when I was lamenting some difficult things, he's like, Dad, you set this family up as a very open family. We say what we think and we, you know, he's like, this is what happens. You know, you if you just want to pretend that you have a very open, communicative family, then that's one thing. But if you really want to have it, you have to be ready for people to say things in the family that you don't like. And that is, I think, a microcosm of America, that the way the Founding Fathers set it up, I agree, Rach, is genius, true genius. And this is one of the many outcomes of democracy. And it's a pretty hard one right now. And a lot of people on both sides of the aisle, like, I'm moving away. If this country goes any more left, I'm moving. Or if this country goes, if Trump's elected again, I'm moving. All of these things that are happening are foreseeable outcomes of democracy. But it doesn't mean that you have to let everyone have their way. Am I making any sense?
Yes.
Like it's become like you're not American unless you celebrate everything and everyone. And I'm not talking about trans people or Black Lives Matter people. I'm just talking about whoever, Westboro Baptist Church, doesn't matter. You're not a bad person or a bad American or a bad country if you hear someone out and go, don't like it, don't want it. That's yep. Okay. And I think that that's where we're going right now, is stumbling over ourselves to tell everyone that they're right. And not everyone's right. We're figuring it out.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Now you know it.
And calling,
really?
But forget it all.
Rach never heard Squeeze.
What? Oh, I know this song. You had to wait till it gets to the chorus.
Talking about America, like I was just saying that I grew up with, you know, John Wayne and Shut Up, We'll Kick Your Ass, We're America, Everyone Else Sucks, and bought into it and was really offended when Obama was doing his whole we're a global citizen and we're not exceptional and everyone thinks they're great and we're no better than anyone else. And we're in really difficult, troubling times, and America doesn't look or feel the way it's ever felt. In fact, it doesn't look or feel the way it felt even 10 years ago. And just asking whether the whole, you know, where's the American experiment going? And is this, it's obviously a possible outcome of what the Founding Fathers did, you know, centuries ago, because it's happening now. And asking how people felt about it. A lot of phone calls coming in. 314-241-9797. You can also tweet Tony or Rachel. Let's start off with Gary. Gary, go ahead.
Hi. Hey. I most definitely agree. America is not the place that I grew up in. And frankly, I'm part of the silent majority that's sick and tired of being told to sit down and shut up because I'm not politically correct, because I believe in God. I believe in the Second Amendment. I believe in the First Amendment. I believe that racial injustice does occur, but I don't believe that, not you personally, mm-hmm. but the liberals have the high ground and can tell me how I'm so terribly wrong. I'm fed up. And I can really see a civil war coming in this country based upon ideological lines between we want America to be based upon the Founding Fathers' tenets, or we don't want America to exist anymore based upon the Founding Fathers' tenets, the way the left is pushing us.
Gary, let me play devil's advocate. In what way is the left moving towards something that does not comport with the Constitution?
Okay, like in St. Louis. It's okay for protesters to break down a gate for a gated community and trample across people's private property, but it's not okay for me, if I happen to own that private property, to try and defend it. I'm a bad guy for doing that. You're a good guy for breaking down the gate and trampling on my property. You have that right, according to the left.
Yeah, that's what I was saying in the first segment, about how there's nothing wrong with telling people no. And I think that's a good example of it, where you say, hey, look, here's the way we do things in America. This is the way we protest. And, you know, during the whole George Floyd thing, I understand why police departments and mayors and governors wanted to give people room, but...
But take over six blocks of the city?
Yeah.
And then you've got to get out.
Yeah, there comes a point when you have to say to whoever it is, because it could be the right next time. You know, you could have a bunch of, I don't know the different groups or who the Proud Boys are, really, I just know the name. But you could see a group of right-leaning people breaking down gates and taking over spaces, and they can't do it either. You know, there are just some rules that we have to have, and it needs to apply to everyone. Now, I've never been in law enforcement, I've never been in the military, I've certainly never made decisions or commanded anyone like that, so it's hard for me to second-guess people who say, give them room, let them, you know, have their temper tantrum, but at the same time, you don't have to. And if you stop people doing that and it turns into more violence, it's not really the fault of the government who is stopping people from committing crimes. There's a big difference to me between protesting, social
justice?
Yeah, no.
Engineering?
No, when you break the rules.
Civil disobedience.
Yes.
Mm. Yeah.
And crimes. To me, lighting things on fire is not civil disobedience. It is a crime. Sitting at a lunch counter and refusing to leave because they don't serve blacks is civil disobedience. Rosa Parks refusing to get in the back of the bus, civil disobedience. Lighting a police cruiser on fire is a crime. It's arson, and you should go to jail. And it's not that difficult for me to draw that line.
Because it's clear. Makes sense. It's reasonable.
Let me go to Mike. Mike, go right ahead.
My opinion is I feel like we went off the rails when we no longer wanted to hear an opposing view. Because I've always had the idea that I'll let the crazies talk because eventually they're going to talk themselves so much that everybody will realize that they're crazy and their ideology is not worth following. But I think now we shout that down their say. You know, the Ku Klux Klan, for example, started to go away a while back because everybody started realizing that their opinions were crazy. Every time they hold a rally, they speak enough. And people would go, wow, these people are off the rails. And they would eventually fizzle themselves out. But we no longer allow that to get to that point.
Yeah. I look, as a talk show host, I couldn't agree more. I think that's a huge part of it.
I let me play devil's advocate for a second. I really do feel like sentiments like that were petering out. And then the internet happened. And people were going on chat rooms and getting radicalized on things like radical Islam, white supremacy, incels, hating women. People who would never meet in real life were able to exchange information and exchange ideas, which is not in and of itself a bad thing. But a lot of people were radicalized through these kind of forums. And I think that caused a lot of people who were 100% pro free speech or would have told you they were before to go, whoa, 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 whoa. Are we really going to let this go on unfettered? And I see both sides of the argument there where it's like, at what point does something become truly dangerous? But, you know, you have to let people have free speech too. So
where do you think it crosses the line?
That's an impossible question for me to answer because you could say, you know, once it's inciting violence, but what incites violence? I mean, I don't know. It's one of those things that are really hard. We just have so many things going on now, like the internet. And like I always say, the mass shooting issue is the unsolvable problem, because as long as you have one person who's willing to do that, it's going to go on. So
do you guys, you know, obviously I grew up in a world where we look to statesmen, whatever you think of JFK or Ronald Reagan, we looked to people like that. I'm very open about not liking Trump, and I don't consider him a statesman at all. The opposite. Are we even open to that anymore? Is that just an archaic idea? The thought of an individual man or woman stepping up and really inspiring people? It sort of feels very passé to me. Just wondering how you guys feel about that.
I understand what you mean. However, I think that the statesman right now, you would have to have a spine of steel to be able to deal with all the attacks you're going to get from whatever side is going to, disagrees with you. And if that's the case, that sort of person, that sort of personality who can take that sort of abuse and continue a straight path is super rare, who's also a statesman. You know what I mean?
I do. And I wonder if there's even a path to that anymore, because it's never been easier to become famous without
doing anything.
With the internet and social media, people become famous overnight. But typically we think of statesmen as being people from the world of politics. And to me, to be a statesman, I'm a proud moderate, and I think that's the way to live life and the way to be politically, and not to be a pussy, but to, you know, like, I think this is right from the left. I think this is right from the right. What, Rachel?
You just got to stop saying that.
Why?
Because you're not supposed to say it on the radio. It's fine.
So I'm not sure that a moderate is ever going to reach high office again. Not in my lifetime.
Not anytime soon. No. No, and I think the part of being a statesman is you have to have the support of the majority. And it doesn't have to be like an 80 or 90% majority, but you need to have the support of 60% of the country by and large. Like you can have people that disagree with some of your policies or whatever, but you have to be somebody that that the majority of people can kind of rally behind as well, as well as have all of the personality traits that you just described that a statesman also has to have. And we're so divided right now that there's just nobody out there, even if they had all the personality traits to be a statesman and had the decorum to be one, there's no way that you could find 55 to 60% or more people rallying behind one,
you know, that's my
supporting
fear.
One person.
A few minutes shy, 4 p.m. DGS. From my window, I'm staring. I think it was listener Paul who called and said that, you know, the left is trying to, you know, with civil war is coming and this is not the America that I know, so forth and so on. I have an analogy for that. To me, it's sort of like the difference between reforming the police and defunding the police. That, look, America is what it is. We have the history that we have. No one can change that, good or bad. And if you look at America in 2020 and you look at our past history, racially, economically, wars, you know, everything, and you say, wow, we've really made some huge mistakes. We should reform this country, and we should reform it significantly. I'm wide open. I'm sitting at the table. Let's talk about it. I'm not going to agree with everything you say, but I'm open to it. If, on the other hand, you say the equivalent of, we need to defund America, we need to just scrap it and start all over again, that's not a conversation I'm willing to have. We can do deep and significant reforms. We can make it much, much better than it has been. But I'm not interested, and I don't think that many people are, in just throwing it away and creating a brand new country.
Yeah.
Also, as important as I think the Black Lives Matter and the protest and George Floyd and all of these things that we're talking about, it's very important. But we can also walk and chew gum at the same time. And if you don't say that it's the only important thing, you're called hateful and you're called a racist. And I just think that that is childish thinking. We can do lots of stuff at once. And so that's something I'd like to push back on, that I sense in just in society, that if that what's going on racially is not your number one thing and to the exclusion of all else, that you're a white supremacist or you're hateful. I just think that's silly. Something can be very important and something to be on the agenda, but not the whole agenda. Does that make sense? Tony, you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I've never heard anyone say what I just said.
And
I think it's because people are afraid to say it. Like, it's like saying all lives matter and then you're canceled.
Right.
I'm just saying that we can do more than one thing at once.
When we got to that point where saying all lives matter was considered to be racist or inappropriate, that was a moment in time.
Yeah.
But the system that we have in place is designed for evolution and change and amending.
It's bendy.
Yeah. On purpose.
On purpose.
That's why it's the will of the people.
It's a republic. Yeah, yes.
It's the will of the people. We have the ability to vote change. We have the ability to change laws and change our rules. And we've used it many times for very good things.
As an agnostic who is almost always against freedom from religion, I'm always against atheists. But one thing I've always said when we have arguments about this over the past 20 years is that, look, America's going to change. Right now, Caucasians are a minority of people under 18 or 20. I forget what it is. The demographics are changing. The race of America is changing. The religions of America is changing. And when people say, like, well, we are a Christian nation. Well, we're not. I understand why you say that, but we don't have a state religion. And we have abrogations against that because 100 years from now, we could be a majority Muslim country. If you don't think it could happen, look at the changes that have happened in the last 20 or 30 years. We could be. And unless you want to live under Sharia law, you should celebrate the fact that under the Constitution, the United States government cannot make a religion. Christian, Muslim, Zoroastrianism. We can't do it for just that reason. And that's why the founding fathers were such geniuses and they had such foresight. I don't know if they ever thought of that example, but it's like free speech that you have to put up with stuff that you don't like because other people have to put up with your stupid stuff. And if we don't want primarily Muslim, you know, demographic instituting Islam as the state religion, then we shouldn't do it with Christianity. It's just so straightforward to me. But people get so offended by that. But we're a Christian nation and all this kind of stuff. We're a secular nation that has strong underpinnings of Judeo-Christian ethics
baked
into
by people,
our law.
Right, because we were founded by people that believed in that religion very strongly, so they were
but
guided
who were
by that.
Also primarily smart fleeing enough. The Church of England.
Yeah, and they were smart enough, again, to know that the idea of forcing that on people is not the best way to go.
Yes. Everyone, believe what you want to believe. Practice the way you want. That's why you have the right to practice your religion.
And let it influence your decisions.
Absolutely.
And the way that you vote and the way that you govern.
Yes.
All of that is fine.
Yes.
But to put in a...
And as an agnostic...
To make a rule. To put
I couldn't
in a state
care
religion.
Less if high school basketball teams pray before a game.
Right.
Go crazy. That doesn't make me feel like if I'm not a Christian, I'm not going to be able to buy bread.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.